whatever I decide I'm going to speak about changes, it metamorphizes, it transforms as my Saturday unfolds. I think what's happening is that I put out a theme into the ether. I make a declaration. My theme shall be this. And then I feel how, not that this is a technique, it's not that I do this consciously or on purpose. I'm just trying to find a theme. And that naturally gets sent out into the ether. And somehow I get feedback from that. It's not that I was looking to do this. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't like it. I love it. It's just that I was very astonished today to all of a sudden see exactly how that process took place. Because I never bothered thinking about it. It just didn't seem to me to be so important. It just seemed to be something that was naturally happening and so on. So what happened was yesterday I put out a theme, but the feedback that came back was very different. It seemed as if there was a need to speak about another topic. And when I say need, I'm not sure what that means. I mean, we use this word need. And to us, it seemingly makes sense. I mean, we say need. And we think we understand what that means. I need this. Now, whether or not we actually need it is not the issue. When we say something like, I need this, this is needed, we usually don't examine if we really need it. The need is accepted as a given. I need. It's kind of like a desire. Now, the reason I make that subtle distinction by saying kind of like, well, I could desire to get, I don't know, $10 million. I'd be happy with it. I don't need it. So a desire and a need is not necessarily related. But I might need $10 million, not necessarily because I need money. And that's what brings us to the theme today, which I found to be very interesting and a lot better than the one I cooked up before. And I had a great, as I was taking a shower, I had a great idea for the title. But by the time I sat here, I forgot it. I guess that has something to do with age, or I don't know, I was distracted, God knows what. But the basic idea of the title was something like, oh, you can do that, eh? It was like a, so you can do that, eh? The idea of that was that now you can do something. Then what? And I was thinking of it in terms of all these things we do here together, our Harry Media people, whoever we are. But we have learned together to do some pretty extraordinary things. I mean, we have capacities to connect and tune to energies all over the place. When we are properly aligned in our consciousness, we can reach out far beyond where we are now. We can reach through dimensional walls. We can connect with the supreme, the divine. We can move energy. We can do all that. So we've learned how to do all these nifty things. So my question, my topic question, was, you're all crazy in your connection today. My question is, so you can do that, eh? And that's related to need. Because some people, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about some people. Some people, they do something nifty, and then they think, wow, I can do that. Wow, I did that. I am therefore good. Or some people might say, I am better than these people over there because they cannot do what I can do. Especially those people over there who criticized me, who spoke badly about me, who did something to me. I am better than them. Or some people might think, here I was thinking all these years I wasn't very good. But because I can do this, I am actually approved. That proves it. I am good. So my topic was, oh, so you can do that, eh? That's kind of like, aren't you cool? Aren't you super? Aren't you special? Aren't you unique? Because you can do that. Now, you all know that I think you're already special, you're already unique, you're already fine, and you're already good enough. That's a given. It's your nature. It is your nature to be fine. It is your nature to be good enough. It is your nature. All these things are natural for you. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to work to become good enough. You don't have to become accepted. You don't have to become approved. You don't have to become special, become unique. You already are these things. In fact, the act of working or doing to gain these things is the exact mechanism which blocks these things. Trying to attain these things blocks these things. To think that one needs this verification or acknowledgement or proof, the very act of that need blocks access to what you are. Again, we're not talking about a desire here, and I want to go back to needs again. It's not a desire. It's much deeper than that. It's a need. It's not something that you can get or not get. It really doesn't matter that much, but you would like to have. It's a deep need, a feeling of insufficiency, a feeling of lack, a feeling of incompleteness, a need to become whole again, a need to feel connected to self, a need to feel connected to that beautiful divine essence that is our nature. But more than that, the need for these things to prove to ourselves that we are good enough to have what is our nature. A need to have proof so that we will judge ourself as worth something, as worthy. In other words, the whole problem is why this need is there. Now, when you can do things, that demonstrates you don't need. But if you still can do these things and still need to use that attainment, I can do that. Therefore, I'm approved. Therefore, I'm good enough. Because I can do that, you still have a way to go. At that very point where that need for approval meets essence is the whole problem. But what's cool about that is that you've cleansed away so much stuff that covered essence, that you are able to clearly face with full conscious awareness how need meets essence. Because it's exactly at that point that our connection, no, let's put it this way, our improper connection, now that's not even true, because the connection to this physicality has value because it's helping us learn, helping us experience, helping us to recover, rediscover, uncover. So this connection here, this exact spot, is the most significant point in our entire experience we're having now, without any values to it. This experience we're having now, whatever it may be, good or bad, however we might think of it, the entire thing depends on where that need, and I'm not talking about generic need now, I'm talking about that very specific need to have some external consideration approve that we, or prove that we are good enough, that we need to be good enough, we need to accept that we are fine, and these attainments to actually have gained something, if we use them to approve ourselves, we still are stuck. You know, if you study the Indian mystic processes of yoga, and they speak about siddhis or great powers, they say that these are the final obstacle. They are an obstacle. Why would somebody spend literally lifetimes building up their energy field, building up their power and discipline, concentrating and focusing their energy to attain incredible mystic yogic feats, even to the point of being able to create or destroy a planet at will? I mean, we're just talking about the literatures and their descriptions. So why would somebody do it? What would motivate them? I mean, here you are, somebody, originally, whoever that person is who can get such a power, they were also somebody. So what went on in their consciousness that brought them to the point where they decided, I'm going for this. I'm going for this. I'm going to develop this. Well, I might suggest, I can't say it's right or wrong, but I might suggest, obviously because I think it's right, but that's not necessarily making it correct, but I would suggest that they have more need than a person who easily accepts that they're good enough. They have more to prove. They have more to prove to themselves. Maybe they needed to demonstrate to others their enormous power so they would be considered superior. They needed to demonstrate to others how superior they were because that other person somehow or another harmed them or criticized them or pushed them down, defeated them in some way. So they needed to develop such enormous power. They have more need. I mean, I cannot imagine myself even wanting such a power. What would I do with it? There are enough planets. Don't need me making one. Okay, maybe you can do a Kardama Muni kind of planet where, you know, you can have all these mystical delights and enjoy your brains out. I think I might not like that after a while. And since I would consider it to be a temporary attainment, well, I have personally nothing against enjoying my brains out, honestly, believe me. But I know it wouldn't last very long. So the thought of having to go through so much work to commit to who knows how many lifetimes of work to get such a thing when I know that I won't even use it for so long doesn't make sense to me. I just don't have that need. And destroying planets, I mean, whoa. Destroy planets, I mean, that's just not in my... It's not in my mentality to destroy planets. I don't even feel like destroying a plant. What to speak of destroy a planet? So, it's not my nature to do so. I don't have that much to prove. I don't have that many problems with myself. I'm kind of okay with me. I don't need to do all that for so long. Okay, I've got my other problems. I'm not the issue here. This is not a therapy session for me in public, a confession. We're speaking about all of us here. It's safer for me but it's also relevant to all of us, that this point where need connects to that being. Now, the being is fine as it is. The need is demonstrating something because there's a feeling. We're not fine as we are. We need to prove something. So what is that itsy bitsy little line that connects the two? Why is it there? It seems to be at the very bottom, the very fundamental basis of everything, the desire to prove oneself, to gain approval, to prove to someone, to prove ultimately to self. What could that be? Okay, well, what are the possibilities? Could it be that something externally came and made this demand on me? Well, it could be, like in the case of somebody who needs to prove that they are better than someone else because someone else did something to them which hurt them in some way, so they have to prove they're better or hurt the other person or prove that the other person is worse. Well, that's not really a core, because that's something that happened recently. Even if it happened 10 lifetimes ago, we're talking about a recent development. It's not a fundamental issue. It's just, I got insulted. I'm trying to get revenge. That's all. But it's built upon the core issue. That amazing core issue. That amazing core issue which says, I need to prove it. I need to prove it means I'm not satisfied. It has nothing to do with anything external. It has everything to do with me. It is something that comes from me. Wow. We have a being who's good enough, who feels they're not good enough. Why? This is the traditional question now. We're back to the traditional question of why are we here? Those philosophies which are based on the idea that you are not good enough and you need to prove yourself by acting so and being so, attaining so, they create this mentality of, so you can do that, eh? You have attained this capacity. Now you are good enough. It's the last obstacle again, the same thing as the yogi. So all religions, without exception, accept this. There's some kind of original sin. Doesn't matter what religion you're in. You're in this world because you are bad. Not in your nature, but you're bad because you came here. That's the proof. You did something bad. In heaven, the fallen angels who followed Lucifer. In Vaikuntha Goloka, the sinful desire of lust. And now you're here. mea culpa, I'm the sinner, it's my fault. And it's my fault because I'm not good enough, I have badness within me. This is the traditional way of understanding it. And naturally, attainments, proving the self, proving your worth, what other people think, the mercy of the guru, if he is pleased, will prove the self. It will resolve everything by your attainment. You don't have to attain such great mystic power that you can create and destroy planets. You simply have to attain the pleasure of your guru, or attain sainthood, or attain approval of your group, and then you'll be good enough. When something external comes and says, yes, here's a certificate, you're good enough. But it's not an external issue, because the only thing stopping us from feeling good enough is ourselves. How I think about me is not dependent on anyone else. I can just think about me differently. What does it ultimately matter to me how somebody else thinks about me? I can't control that. Why would I want to? There's mystic power where people, yogis, can control how others think about them. So they can all think about them favorably and come to them and give them and worship them and love them. And it's a mystic power. It's something that is often seen, often. It's not so rare. It's an attractive mystic power because why? Because that's the need. You shall come to me. You shall worship me. You shall accept me as something great and pure and wonderful because I need that to prove to myself that I'm good enough. My God, that's blasphemy. It's not. It's a demonstration that all that counts. If you take away all these obstacles, you take away all these things, you take away all these needs, that all that counts is how I think about myself, nothing else. Ultimately, I am in control of how I think about myself, how I feel about myself. No, rather, how I feel myself. Not how I feel about myself, how I feel myself. If I feel myself lacking, I am lacking. If I feel myself complete, I am complete. It's not an imagination. It's a feeling. Somebody else outside could point to you and say, don't listen to this guy here, Hari. He's a speculator. He doesn't know. He's not talking according to Shastra. He's not quoting Bibles. He's not in a line of gurus. You can't do this on your own. You're not capable because you're not good enough yet. Follow us, you'll be good enough. It's an illusion. If you simply feel yourself good enough, that's not reality because you're not good enough. There's a deep sickness in this, a super deep sickness in this. It's a exploitation of the soul to play upon the needs of people. In other words, you see that people have this weakness, you directly play on that weakness to create a situation which keeps them bound. To keep them bound by always trying to prove themselves. Because as long as you can convince them there's something to prove, you've got them. Because there's always somebody to prove it to. Because if you knew there wasn't, you would just feel good about yourself. Why not? What's the problem? What are you lacking? What do you need? Examine needs. Okay, the body requires food. Maybe. Jasmuhin doesn't bother with that either. Okay, the body requires to sleep. Absolutely. Okay, the body has various requirements. Fine. The family has requirements. Fine. You got to maintain where you live. Fine. And you need to organize into communities and countries. Fine. So these things have to be done. But none of them are that connected point between that very fundamental need and the self. The only thing, and believe me, everything flows through that one little string that connects self and that need, that fundamental, original, basic need to prove self. Everything flows through that because the whole creation flows through that. What happens when that's not there anymore? What is the motivation to continue living here? I don't know. I don't think there is any. And while you're here, why not continue to act? Just because you have no need to prove anything to anyone, does that mean you let your roof fall in on your house? Of course not. Does it mean you neglect your body so it gets sick? Of course not. Why would it? Why does not having that need mean or imply that you should let everything go to hell? Of course not. But does it mean you should make permanent plans? That you should be so attached to your creation? That you should try to build more and more to attain more and more? No, because you've got nothing to prove. You have no needs. You're fine. You're satisfied in the self. You have nothing to prove. But this satisfaction in the self goes way, way, way deeper than usually people consider it. Because it goes all the way down to that very basic essential connection where we somehow or another have that need to prove we are good enough, to gain approval that we are good enough. And we struggle with that in our interactions with others. I've seen so-called great spiritual personalities. I've seen lots of them, more than you can imagine. And each and every one of them I have seen, except for one, had that need to prove something. Now, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with all of this? I mean, maybe you're not catching my point because you don't want to. Because it's so basic. You don't want to. Your mind resists it. Like what happened in the last 30 minutes was I painted a very clear picture. Many of you have already forgotten it. I've brought you all the way down to the very basis of being. You followed it. I spoke one example, and your mind floated away. You know it. I felt it. Why did that happen? I'm not criticizing. I'm just using this as an example. Why did that happen? I'll tell you why, because you wanted it to happen. I don't really have an answer to this connection between being and that initial need to be proved. But I do know, obviously, it's there because we want it to be there. It's our desire. At our basic level, it's our desire. And ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, when we stop desiring that, it stops instantly. It evaporates. Poof. I can't convince you to change your desire. I can't induce you to change your desire. I can help you understand what your problems are. I can help you to see what's the actual situation. So when you do things, you can be aware of it. When you speak with others, be aware of how your need is energizing the interaction. Just be aware of that. If you are aware of that one thing, you will transform so deeply, you'll be amazed. What an incredibly simple technique to simply be aware of how your need is energizing. And when I talk about need, I don't talk about all this other junk. I mean that fundamental need. I'm going to have to give it a label because I can't keep going back and describing it over and over again. The fundamental need for approval, that you are good enough, okay? Observe, be aware of how that fundamental need energizes your interaction. And when somebody else's fundamental need is impacting you, how that makes you feel? Do you feel charitable and generous to offer them what they need? Do you feel jealous or envious or miserly, or feel exploited and not offer them what they need? There's a third possibility, but we'll get to it. Each of these situations are not beneficial to the other person. Maybe it's easier for you to create peace and harmony and get something, or if you need it, to approve them. To say, yes, yes, you are good enough. Yes, yes, I approve you. Yes, yes, everything you do is good. Yes, yes, you are fine. Yes, yes, you are good enough. I certify you as good enough. I give you a certificate. You are good enough. That doesn't benefit anybody. You're feeding their problem. You're feeding it. You're giving sugar to cancer. You're feeding it like mad. So then the other side of saying, no, I'm not going to feed your disease. I'm going to chastise your disease. I'm going to reject your disease. I'm going to negatively push upon your disease and push it away and reject you. That also doesn't help. It's an aggression. It's an aggression against the other person. And that's not good either, because that doesn't help you. It does nothing for the other person except make them angry or make them reject you as a defense. It's not good for you because it turns you into an aggressor, which screws up your energy. Neither of these things are good. What's the solution? Neutrality. In this sense, I accept you. I allow you to be who you are. Finish. I accept you. I accept what you are. I allow you to be who you are. And I will respond to you, neither feeding your disease of insecurity, neither with rejection or aggression. I'll respond in the loving, caring desire to be of service. That's all. That is a cultured, evolved interaction. When you're aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it, it's totally different. You see things coming from yourself. You see your desire to be approved, to be certified. You see it in bold rawness. Raw, it's raw fashion, unedited, unprocessed, unfiltered, pure. It's pure essence. I need that fundamental need. You see it when it manifests. As soon as you say, oh, you didn't understand. Oh, you're not. I need you to approve me. That doesn't mean you should not try to be understood at all. But it means at one point when there's no use to it anymore, it doesn't work. Oh, forget it. What's the point? I allow, I accept. Nothing more. No need. It's an art. It's a discipline. It's actually yoga, the connection to oneself that allows you to connect to all divinity everywhere, allows you to connect to other living beings. Because you're no longer in conflict. You're no longer needing something. You're just allowing your energy to flow. And neither do you need to prove to yourself, because you have all these attainments, capacities, that you're good enough. You just accept yourself. I am what I am. With all of whatever it is that I am, I allow myself to express and be. And I'm aware of those expressions. And when these expressions don't feel right, or when they are a product of that fundamental need, step back. Analyze it. Why is it so? Why is it so? What was there? What happened? What sparked it? What was that feeling within my soul, my essence, my being that made me afraid? That made me afraid of myself. I became afraid of myself because I'm not good enough. I'm afraid of me. I'm bad. I'm afraid of me. Something's wrong with me. I'm afraid. What was it? Examine it. Deal with it. Accept it. And then that awareness of what it is will allow you next time, when a similar situation arises, to deal with it with much more detachment. It's a gradual process, so you can't just deal with it with detachment. I mean, it's very difficult. It's practically impossible. But at least it will become increasingly detached. It will increase. It will grow. There's nothing wrong with the fact that in the past you were not as evolved as you are now. That's an amazing point. There's nothing wrong that in the past you were not as evolved as you are now. Therefore, there's no need to condemn yourself for the past. Because obviously you're more evolved because you see the wrong, or you've seen that this was not something that makes you feel good now. So you have evolved. The past is the past. Accept it. Accept the responsibility. Feel the pain of the past. Because so long as you keep rejecting your past, you are rejecting a part of your energy that you have invested in that moment. And you are pushing a part of yourself away, that part that you have condemned as bad, that could have done such a thing then. So you're punishing yourself now, rejecting a part of yourself now for something that occurred then. Accept it happened. Accept the responsibility and accept the pain that the memory brings. Just accept it. Feel it. You have nothing to fear. Especially since you already think you're not good enough. Just because something is there in the memory that proves what you already think, so what? I'm wearing a green shirt. I think I'm wearing a green shirt. If some 10 people come and say, "You're wearing a green shirt," so what? I already think I'm not good enough. I already feel that I'm not good enough. It's the basic fundamental thing that guides everything, rules everything. So when I look in the past and I feel that I was not good enough then, and people around me all had pointed and said, "You're not good enough," or they still say it, so what? What does it prove? I already knew it. I already knew that I wasn't good enough. So why should I be particularly afraid of that thing in my past? Why should I be particularly afraid of that thing? Why should I not want to see it? Why should I not accept it as part of my energy? I'm not saying you should be happy about it. Not at all. But you shouldn't reject it as not existing. You can say, "I don't like that. I'm not going to do that again." That's okay. But to just say, "I'm not going to do that again," without realizing that, is not going to work. That's repression. You have to actually feel that. The same way you feel when you put your hand in fire, that it burns, and then when you say, "I'm not going to do that again," you mean it, because you know the feeling of fire. So when you say something, that it has to be from realization. You have to allow the fact that you're not yet ready to do whatever. But when you feel what you feel the experience you have will not be a struggle, not be a work. It will just be what is part of the moment. I have experienced that I'm not going to do that because I don't like it. When I no longer like to feel not good enough, I'll stop feeling that way. So long as I like to feel that way, I will feel that way. And when I no longer like to feel that way, I will not. Okay, again, back to awareness of an interaction. I'm having a conversation with you. I'm aware of my energy, of this fundamental need, being present in this interaction. I see myself trying to prove to you that I'm good enough. I'm trying to prove to you that you should approve me. I'm seeing this happen. And I watch it. And I'm astonished. Oh my God, look what I'm doing. When you do it unconsciously, you don't consider it. But when you consciously see it, you go, oh my God. Oh my God. And you feel something. You feel, I don't like it. So then you stop it. But you have to know how to stop it. You don't stop it by feeding others. You don't stop it by rejecting others. You don't stop it by changing the way you're trying to prove yourself. You stop it by stopping to try to prove something. You stop it by stopping to try to gain approval. You simply present as it is. That's very important. To just accept it as it is. And have your responses be of the loving, caring desire to be of service that is your nature. This is a conscious discipline. This is actual, the deepest form of yoga. It's the deepest form of all yoga, superior to even all yogic attainments, because it's exactly on the level of the soul. Because when you stop that one thing by realization, when you feel its badness to you, you don't like it, when you feel you don't like it, you're on the very deepest level of spirituality, which is the reason why you're here in the first place, because you decided you weren't good enough. Why did you decide that? I don't care. I have my idea, but I don't really care. I think it's a sport. Or I think it may be something that just happened for some reason. I don't care. It's happening. It's now. I've got to deal with it. Knowing why, it doesn't affect it. Neither is it possible. This is not just some excuse because I don't know it. It's not possible to know it. No one can tell you because your reason for it is unique to you. Even if it's not unique to you, we're not privy to that information. It's not something that's given to us. If you can find it on your own, bravo. Go for it. It's very helpful to consider, why would I do such a thing? Why would I do such a thing? What would cause me to desire to feel not good enough? What on earth would cause me? What on universe would cause me to desire to feel not good enough? What a fabulous research question. It's a fabulous research question. It's the deepest form of yoga. Because you're right there at the point that that desire created that feeling which created this whole universe of physicality that I am now in. I just flowed into this universe through that desire, that thread. I flowed in here, and here I am. Like a little hole, just flowed in. Because outside of this physicality universe, or wherever it may be, I had a desire. I desired to not be good enough. Because I already was, by the way. So it wasn't something that was factual. It was something like, I desire to go play golf because I'm bored. I mean, it's not that you get bored up there, but whatever. You get the idea. It's a desire. You felt, hey, how about doing that? Obviously, it was not as whimsical as that, but it has the same basic feature to it. There's a desire. Let me try this. Let's see what happens. Because when I come back, I'm going to be so exponentially more powerful than I am now. So much more of what I am. So much more expanded. My energy will be expanded. It's not that spirituality is static, that your spirit, that's it. Nothing more to attain. Nothing further. Nowhere to go. Everything is static. God is static. Never growing. Never expanding. You are static. Never growing. Never expanding. If God expands, it's only because new spirit souls emanate from him. Oh, was that a problem to talk about? Where did these eternal creations take place? No, everything's expanding. You are expanding. And to make that expansion explode, you decided to take this very short little detour into the land of not being good enough. So that when you came out of not being good enough, you're going to be really expanded because it's your nature to expand. It's organic, spiritually organic, environmentally friendly too. That's a joke. So now, this awareness is the key. This awareness of that interaction, those thoughts, where the energy of approval, of certification, of acceptance, that's where it comes, right there, as a motivation for life. Be aware of it. Examine it. Deal with it. And let it go. I don't think there's a meditation that would amplify the subject matter of this discussion. And the reason for that is that it's related to desire. Meditation, in the meditative state, you cannot transform desire. It's too related to being. And being has already decided to have the desire. So a meditation would not really affect that desire. This has to be done from the platform of awareness, whereby being aware of the mechanism of this energy of need, one gradually develops dislike. In other words, one no longer likes it. One no longer desires it. That is far more powerful than any meditation, and it's the only way it'll happen. It's interesting, isn't it? I haven't gotten any questions. I guess the subject is fairly clear. I don't even know if I were to ask a question what I would ask. There's no possibility to ask how can we questions because, I mean, I gave you the how. I got a kind of a written comment here, but it had no, I didn't understand it, so I can't, I just wrote that, I don't understand it, so I'm just waiting. I tried to connect to some audience member and members or whoever it was who were not regular attendees and who had this like, okay, but what's spiritual about what this guy just said? And I think that's like cool. In the sense that I can't imagine anything more spiritual. So that either means I don't know anything about spirituality, which is possible, or they don't understand, hello? You kind of disappeared. They don't understand how spirituality is very dependent on awareness. It's the spirit is aware, the spirit is conscious, and how that spirit manifests in this world is spirituality. I mean, if I started talking about Radha and Krishna and their pastimes, is that more spiritual than how my spirit manifests? I don't think so. But if you were conditioned to think it was, then you would not be able to see what I was talking about. Because you're blocked from this understanding by a conception you have accepted. Somebody's bringing up a point here in relationship to Lord Chaitanya. And the idea is that he's saying Lord Chaitanya wanted you to feel better, to become better. So therefore, he's thinking that you need to get better. That's his question. But then again, if you use Lord Chaitanya as an example, I would say Lord Chaitanya's example of simply going and embracing somebody, and whether they're qualified or not, according to the previous conceptions, whether they had the attainments or not, the discipline or not, he didn't care. He just embraced them and bingo, they had spiritual realization. So what I'm saying is extremely similar, just it's minus the touch that immediately causes it to happen. In other words, that external overwhelming power that causes it to happen. That might be there if you're in, for example, the St. Petersburg Temple and we're doing a program, but what I'm doing is to have you cause it to happen in the same way, just by feeling it. So I don't think that Lord Chaitanya could be said to be a personality who wanted you to feel that you weren't good enough or that you required to do tons of endeavor. I would say quite the opposite. He said, you're good enough. Here, boom, here's Krishna Prema. Oh! Or he said, just chant in ecstasy. I don't see any difference. Examine what it is that happens in a kirtan that causes it to not feel that way. And why does it require to have some kind of, you know, pounding intensity to make somebody feel some way? You might find this in some kind of rite where people work themselves up into a feverish mentality and mood and emotion so that they, you know, can break free of the bondage of their present minds. But Lord Chaitanya's kirtans, you know, they had beautiful singing, melodious singing, carefully placed rhythms. It was something that allowed one to float in the love, not be pounded by it, like, you know, a techno beat or a house beat or these modern music would pound it. You feel a pounding, 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 break you out, pound, break you out. But rather you flow with it from the spirit. So that kind of chanting, hey, I'm all for it. Very rare. Especially when you gather together groups of people who are at such differing levels of awareness, such differing levels of capacity or evolution, or who go there because they think they have to dump their sins or they're so bad or God knows what. I'm not sure if that related to that, but anyway. I don't even know if I would like to go further on that point because, you know, it's not my... I don't like to drag Lord Chaitanya into these things. I mean, it's obvious. For me, it's something that feels obvious. I figure that when you get it, you got it. It's not that my telling you about it directly is going to change it. Because when you get it, you got it. It's just, boom, that's the way it is.
I have a question, but you don't hear me. Oh, you do? Okay, then the question that popped up in my head is, you were talking about like tracing how we expect approval from others and so on, but I thought of when we just, for example, when we want to share with people, it's kind of natural desire, natural impetus and motivation to come in contact with others. Then it seems to be also natural that we expect some feedback or some positive, like even one could say approval or continuation of this, like, you know, relationship.
Okay, let's consider here an interaction when you're with a group of friends or with some family. There's one type of interaction where you want a feedback from them which says what you're doing is accepted, pleasurable, it's working, it makes sense. But I say that if I'm interacting with you according to your energy, without compromising myself, and I'm reciprocating with you, I'm allowing things to grow, and I'm adding to them in a complementary way, this has nothing to do with requiring approval. It's, of course, dependent on feedback, but the feedback is the way in which we find how we're resonating together in harmony. There's a different quality to a resonant, a harmonic resonance that builds something, to a need fulfillment. Harmonic resonance is inspiring. Need fulfillment really isn't. So when the interactions are a harmonic resonance that builds for both or all, that is by its very nature vastly superior to the distortion of fulfilling needs.